Well, tonight we're going to begin a three-week series, which I've entitled Following Christ. We're going to be focusing our time on Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. And the theme is Following Christ. The theme is Following Christ. And by that, I simply mean this, that we're living our lives seeking to do what Jesus would have us do, to live according to His will, to follow Him wherever He leads us, wherever He takes us. And you know, friends, that's something that should be true of all of us today. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, this is after Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of God. We're told that there are still believers who follow the Lamb, verse 4, wherever He goes. And so, we're learning what it is to follow Christ. And that's the theme we'll be looking at over the next 3 weeks. And so, give your ear to the reading of God's Word tonight, as is found in Luke chapter 9. Now, it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, "Lord, I will follow You wherever You go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." And then He said to another, "Follow Me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow You, but first let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And tonight we're looking at the first individual who came to Jesus. But first, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray tonight that You will powerfully speak to our hearts. We are in need of a word, O God. And Father, how we are in need to follow Christ. So we pray, Father, as we begin this series, that You will use it to challenge us in the deepest way possible. And Lord, that when we are through, that there will be a greater interest and effort to follow Your Son wherever He takes us. So bless Your word to our lives this evening, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you have ever seen the movie Lord of the Rings? Some of you. The first of the trilogy is The Fellowship of the Ring. And there's this really interesting part in the movie where they're trying to decide who is going to take the ring to Mordor and to drop the ring in the fire at Mount Dune. And they're bickering and they're arguing amongst themselves. And finally, Frodo, who's really the key figure of the entire book, steps forward and he says that he'll take the ring to Mordor. And it's settled. And what you don't know at this time, in the movie at least, it's not there in the book, but in the movie, that Merry and Pippin, who are fellow hobbits, have been hiding in the bushes. It's a secret council. They're not supposed to be there, but they've been listening all along. And they come out, and in their excitement and zeal, they say, and we're going to go too. As far as they're concerned, it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a wonderful time. They really don't know what is ahead of them. But as soon as they commit themselves, there's the classic line in the movie. There's a pause, and they say, "So where are we going?" And I laugh at that because it reminds me of the Christian life, so much so. I don't know if you are here tonight and you're not a Christian, or maybe you're a brand new Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but I think we all know something about getting really excited about following Jesus Christ. You know, we can be so passionate about doing that. Do you ever have those days where you have a mountaintop experience and you're praying and you say, "Jesus, I'm going to follow You wherever." And you're excited and you're zealous for the Lord. Do you ever have those moments? Ever have those experiences? The man in our story tonight was such a man. This man was extremely zealous and eager to follow Jesus Christ. He comes to him and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Now we have to stop and just look at that for a minute, because it's weird. First of all, what does this guy do for a job? What's his job? He's a... Come on, guys. What is he? He's a scribe. What's a scribe? Okay, he works with what specifically? What's he always interacting with? The scriptures, the law of God. This guy was a teacher. He was a student of the Word of God. And he's coming to Jesus and he's saying to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And you just have to understand how weird that is. That would be like next Sunday, you come here for church, only I'm not here. And there's a note saying, this great new pastor showed up in town. He's so smart. He's so wise. He knows the scriptures. He's the godliest man I've ever known. And you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gone for a year. I'm just going to follow him wherever he goes. Sorry. And it's like that. And what's strange, even stranger, is that the scribes didn't really like Jesus very much. I mean, it was the scribes who ended up putting Jesus to death. And so this is very strange tonight, that we see this scribe coming to Jesus and saying, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go. And what's even stranger is this. He doesn't ask Jesus, may I go with you? Would it be okay if I possibly tagged along? What does he say? He simply announces to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go. It's like going to a job interview. And before you get the job, you say to your boss, well, you know what? I'm really looking forward to working here. I'll see you tomorrow. I will follow you wherever you go. Anywhere you go, I'm going to be right there with you. You know what, though? I understand this man's zeal. I understand his excitement. And I think you might, too. If you look at the context of what's just been happening, you understand what's been happening. Well, Jesus has been in town. He's been casting out demons. He's been curing diseases. He just fixes the whole town up. And this man is right there in the middle of all of this. And he's seeing Jesus. He's seeing Christ work. And it was exciting, you think? Okay, it would have been exciting. There he is. Jesus is doing his thing. People are getting healed. They're getting cured. They're getting delivered. And this man is watching all of it. And he thinks to himself, you know what? Life with Christ is going to be wild. It's going to be a trip. It's going to be great. I mean, think about it. Day in and day out, everywhere I go, I get to see this buzz of activity. And there will always be food, right? Because Jesus can work miracles. I mean, it's just great. Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. This guy is just dancing on the mountains. He is just pumped and he's stoked and he's so excited. And wouldn't you be excited? And Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I pray that I will do that. You ever have that experience? This man did. But what's Christ's response? He doesn't say yes. But he doesn't say no. He doesn't say, sure, come on. He doesn't say, forget it. He doesn't dampen this guy's enthusiasm. But he tells him, listen, you've got to face some cold, hard facts. And to do that, he teaches him a lesson in animal habitat. Foxes have what? Holes. And the birds of the air have nests. In other words, all the animals have homes, but the Son of Man has what? He has nowhere to lay his head. Okay, scribe, you've got to understand this. Life with me is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. There are going to be some discomforts to doing this. You aren't going to know where you're going to bed down at night. You know why? Because Christ had no fixed address. Christ didn't have a home. Christ did not pay a mortgage. Christ did not pay rent. You know where he slept? Any idea where Christ slept? He'd walk up to people's homes and say, "I'm staying at your house tonight." Yeah, he'd invite himself in. And when he got a home, that was nice. But most nights, I don't think he had a place to stay like that. I think, well, we know he didn't. We know that one night he slept on a boat, right? We know he slept on a mountain another night. We know he slept under the stars. He probably slept in fields. You know, he spent the whole night in a prison one night, didn't he? Got himself arrested. And then he spent his last night on a cross. And they put him down on that cross. He laid his head on those two beams. And there they nailed him to that cross. He says, "You want to follow me? Let me tell you where I'm going. I'm going to Golgotha. I'm going up that hill. I'm going to the cross." If you think that following Jesus Christ is going to be a bed of roses, friends, think again. It's not. There is a cost to follow. Are you hearing me tonight? There is a cost to following Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Because it could cost you. Big time. It could cost you relationally. Do you believe that? If you want to be obedient to Jesus Christ, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to let Him lead you where He's going, it may very well cost you relationships, friendships. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? People that you know and love, gone. That's part of the cost. Those of you who are here tonight and you're young and you've got your friendships, people that you like and they're not Christians, let me tell you what inevitably happens when you get serious about following Jesus Christ. Young people, are you listening? Listen to this. You get serious about Jesus Christ, and guess what the world's going to think about you? Not much. You want to know something? They will begin to walk away. It is inevitable. You ready for that? Talk with a young man this week. You want to know why he's not ready to commit his life to Jesus Christ? Because he's got a friend. And his friend is worth too much to him right now. And that's what he said. And he said, "I know, it's insane. Because I know if I die tonight, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet God. And I'm going to go to hell. And I know it's insanity." But he understands the cost. He has no illusions. He understands that following Christ inevitably leads to a parting of the ways with the world. Do you believe that? And with possible relationships. There are some relationships that are just off limits to you. And you can't have them. And that's part of the cost. This could cost you, I mean, hugely relationally. And it could cost you financially too. It could. What if Christ asks you to drain your account? You ready for that? Are you ready to liquidate? Are you ready to pull out your checkbook and just say, "Okay, how much, Jesus? How much do you want? You name the figure. I have the pen of a ready scribe, and I'm ready just to put down as many zeros as you want, or as many as I have." You ready for that? What if Christ called you to do that? Could you sell your home tonight? Could you give it up? you take a 3-bedroom apartment somewhere? Could you do that? What if Christ calls you to do that? What if Christ calls you away from a lucrative career? No longer making the 6-digit salary, making more like, well, 6,000 dollars. Would you do it? Of course, it would mean that you couldn't buy the clothes that you want to buy and drive the kind of car you want to drive, eat the kind of food you want to eat, go to the restaurants you do, rent the videos that you do, take the vacations you dream about. Could you do it? Would you do it? It could cost you your career. You spent years working to get where you are. I'm asking you tonight, if Jesus Christ called you elsewhere, would you pack up the tools and walk? Would you do it? It could cost you your life. It cost humiliated his life. He felt the call of God to go down to South America and to witness to the Aucan Indians. You want to know something? He didn't get 2 words out of his mouth. They gutted him with a spear and left him bleeding on a beach to die. And he said that famous thing, that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It could cost you your life. You ready for that? Are you willing tonight to lay it down, to give it all up, if Jesus should call you to do just that? The Christian life is not an easy life. And you got to know that tonight. If you're thinking about following Jesus Christ, you've got to know that there can be no illusions. This is going to cost you. And you cannot live attached to this world and the things of this world. You've got to go through this life with your hand open and say, God, if you want to take it, you take it. But this I tell you, I just want to follow you wherever you take me, no matter what that means, no matter how high the cost. Are you ready? My bet is that some of you are not ready for that. And you want to follow, yes, but your own heart and your own dreams and your own ambitions. And you want a nice, safe life here in North America, where you've got your nice little house and your nice vehicles and your nice clothes and your nice food and nice everything. And everything is comfortable. You know what? Don't get me wrong. I'm not coming down on nice things. But I am, if they've got our hearts. It is so easy, friends, to live our lives so attached to this world and to delude ourselves into thinking that we are actually following Christ. And you can grow up in the church and you can know all the hymns and hear 2,000 sermons by the age of 20. And you can go to school, and you can pick your career, and you can get your job, and make your money, and pay off your mortgage, and you can retire in comfort and ease, and meanwhile, Jesus Christ is a million miles away from you. Are you ready to follow Him tonight? Or is the cost just way too high? Maybe tonight, what you need to hear more than anything is this. Give it up. Lay it down. Open up your hands and say, Jesus, come and take my heart. Come and take my world and shake it up and break it apart and take whatever you want. And strip me naked. But God, give me this, a heart that follows hard after you. Some of you know the cost, don't you? Some of you know what it is to follow Him. And you know what you've given up for Him. What do I say to you? What do I say to you when you're discouraged and you're down and you've given up and right now life is hard? What do I say to you? I say this, that you are exactly in the place your Savior wants you to be. I say to you that you are simply following the path that He followed Himself. Up that hill to that cross, laying it all down for your sakes. If you think you're in a hard place, friends, understand this. You are nowhere where your Savior hasn't been before, and you are nowhere where your Savior can identify with now. And you should take comfort in that tonight. And understand this. He has called you to a hard life. And that's a blessed thing. Friends, what a blessed thing it is with a sinful heart to be called to live so detached from the world and so glued to Christ and so called through difficulties. You're in a good place. And what do I say to you? I say you keep on going. I say you keep following your Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the hurt is. You're doing what Christ wants. You're following in His footsteps. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing. Who wants to sign up tonight? Who wants to re-sign? Are you excited? I hope you are. But I hope that you understand the cost involved. But I hope you understand this. There is nothing that you can give in this life that ain't worth the trip of following Christ. No matter where He takes you. No matter at all. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we pray then that we would be zealous for You, yes. But Lord God, that we would know the cost and count that cost and be given the grace to keep on walking after Jesus. Father, encourage the hearts of those who are here tonight that are broken and struggling, just trying to keep up. And dear Father, I pray that You would give the grace needed to quicken that gate and help them walk in step with the Spirit and find Jesus on the route. And find rest for their souls, refreshment for their hearts, a well-watered life. Amen.